You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, putting evidence back into soft tissue therapy.
Hey people, how are you doing? Welcome to episode 190. What a lovely round number. We're nearly at 200. That means absolutely nothing, of course, but it's kind of like doing a 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, isn't it? So we're nearly there at 200 of the Sports Therapy Association podcast. My name is Matt Phillips, creator of runchatlive.com. And as always, this episode is being recorded live on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock on the Sports Therapy Association YouTube channel, on the Facebook page, and also the Facebook page open group. So if you are listening to the podcast and you do like the idea of joining us live, so you can ask questions directly to our magnificent guests and also just hang out with other like-minded soft tissue therapists, then that's all you got to do. Put aside Tuesday at 8 o'clock and then join us on one of those streams. So in this episode coming up very shortly, episode 190, entitled Transforming Your Healthcare Business Model, my special guest is Frank Benedetto, a doctor of physical therapy with a degree in psychology. Frank is the founder of the Honey Badger Project, and with it is on a mission to revolutionize healthcare by making better use of technology and psychology to improve patient care. If you are joining us live, then you're obviously, as always, welcome to ask questions already through the door, flying through. We've got Sarah Jones. Those who listen to the podcast, when I do bring up questions, then you get to see the person's logo. You get to see what they say, obviously, on the screen. So it's a lovely way of sharing your thoughts, sharing your logo, if you like, and networking. Sarah Jones says, evening. Hey, Sarah, thanks very much for joining us. Amanda is here as well, saying hi, everyone. Cecily Hislop is here as well. Howdy, folks. It's Cecily. Glenn Murphy has come through the door. Hi, Glenn. How are you doing? Good to see you. Gary Benson, founder of the Sports Therapy Association, is here as well. So if you've got any technical questions in the chat, then the man is there ready to answer them. And other people are coming through now. So it's all great. And we are looking forward to spending the next hour with you. But first, he moved the microphone towards him to create a little bit of atmosphere. A moment to talk about facial hair. Specifically, the return of what some have referred to as my glorious beard. Now, if you listen to the podcast and you've never seen me, this will make no sense to you at all. You might want to fast forward. You might want to go to YouTube. But yes, the beard is back. I'm thrilled to announce that once again, just like I was about, well, between 10 and 5 years ago, I'm able to offer you, the listener of the Sports Therapy Association podcast, a discount code for beard products from the wonderful people at the Brighton Beard Company. Those of you who are fans of Run Chat Live podcast and went to the conference will know that I was working with these guys for a long time. They're a lovely bunch. It's not just because they're in Brighton, which is my hometown. It also really is. I'm going to try and say this because I know a lot of people talk about, oh, all of our products are 100% natural. But these guys really started off as a tiny outfit in 2013, if I remember rightly. And all of their products, the balms, the oils, the brushes, everything, they are all handmade in small batches with 100% natural ingredients. And it's a matter of taste, isn't it? But I'm telling you that as far as I'm concerned, they are impeccable in fragrance. And I would encourage you to try them. The one I just want to mention, I'm going to do this like once a month, because what they're doing at the moment is they've got a seasonal collection. Remember, if you haven't got a beard, some of the ladies out there maybe, then this is, if you really want to treat your fellow, I know you don't like his beard much, but you have to understand men don't grow beards for women. It's not that sort of thing. They grow them for them. And they have little nods at people as they walk past and go, yeah, nice beard, bro. It's that sort of thing. So if you really want to give your man a great present, then some of these products, balms or oils, will mean the world to him. There's one that a Brighton Beard Company is selling now, which is the seasonal collection. They're basically a collection of different ingredients which are supposed to match the season. And we're in spring. There's a little shot there. I'm not sure if it's going to go out of blur, but there we go. This is the spring collection. I'm going to give it a smell. It makes me laugh when I watch this back because it's, if you're listening to the podcast, it means nothing. But right, I'm just going to try not to swear. Last time I did. It's amazing. I'm not just saying that as a sales pitch. It's just beautiful. This seasonal spring one I'm talking about, the ingredients on it, if I remember rightly, it's got bergamot, which is a kind of type of orange, which you can't eat, but it's just beautiful citrus smell. It's also got coriander, thyme and lavender. And it's sound like a QVC channel, but it is amazing. It's energizing like spring. It's citrusy, but also with peppery notes is the best way I'd describe it. But anyway, collections are limited, so go and check that out now. Now, the important thing you can see on the screen, but if you listen to the podcast and you fancy buying that for yourself or for a loved one or somebody you want to be a loved one, then you can get 15% off using the discount code STA15. That's it. STA15 will get you a code. And yeah, I would definitely check them out. It will change your life or the life of the person you give it to. And that's guaranteed. There we go. Right, back to tonight's episode. Enough talk of beards. Although our guest, who I bring up shortly, is sporting a very nice beard, which we'll try not to refer to. It's going to be difficult now because everyone's thinking about it. But I'm really excited to bring up for this episode 190 of the Sports Therapy Association podcast, Transforming Your Healthcare Business Model. I've been kind of talking about this in little bits in the last four or five episodes because it's something that's really close to my heart. It's something because I believe it's what you soft tissue therapists need to work less and earn more. And once upon a time, I would have hated hearing that. All right, here we go. Another marketing pitch. Work less and earn more. It sounds like half the sponsored ads we see on Facebook. But I'm at the age now where I understand and I try and let you guys know that you do deserve more than you're earning, especially now as we're learning of the power of human touch and people are starting to appreciate, thanks to the studies, how human touch does change lives, how it hits that nervous system. So the more the nervous system is involved in healthcare, well, hey, guess what? The more massage and everything we say and speak and listen around that massage is going to help people in pain. So very excited to bring up my special guest for tonight, Frank Benedetto, and I shall bring him up now.
You're linked to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, put evidence back into soft tissue therapy.
Hey Frank, how are you doing?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Nice beard, man. Nice beard, bro.
I mean, I hope I'm going to be able to concentrate because I'm filled with jealousy.
Well, this is... Wow, but that's looked after, man. That's really nice. I like it. And you've got that kind of like just great age, which only a man of your experience and wisdom can have. I mean, that is the beard. It's beautiful, man. But anyway, we won't talk about beards anymore. Thanks for joining us. You're in Florida, aren't you? Which is what time there? Where are you? What time of day are you in?
It is 4 p.m. Eastern time here in Florida.
Brilliant. You've got more light than we've had for the last 5 months by the look of it. So I hope you're appreciating that. So yeah, so we're going to talk about the Honey Badger Project, which is something you've founded. To start off, and we mentioned this off air, I think it might be a UK states thing, but all day or all week while I've been preparing this and writing up some notes, I've been transforming Honey Badger into Honey Bear because we're more familiar with characters like Winnie the Pooh than the Honey Badger. So I'm wondering if for our UK listeners, you could explain what is symbolic and important about the Honey Badger with regards to soft tissue therapists and business in general.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a doctor of physical therapy by trade. A manual therapist was my identity for the first 8 years of my career. And it has since evolved. And I believe that business is a vehicle to deliver amazing healthcare, innovative healthcare. And I believe that sports therapists are the front lines. You know, we are the front lines reaching the consumers that are either coming to us first or coming to us when they have given up hope on the rest of healthcare. So I think the two extremes represents a lot of what I've seen in the people that I've worked with. And I believe that healthcare at large in the US, in the UK, we have a large presence in the UK, we have tons of clients in the UK. It's broken. It's broken in different ways in the US and the UK, but it is broken indeed. And I know that fear is the number one gatekeeper to having healthcare professionals reimagine their careers. It is fear that is in the way. It's fear of standing out, fear of breaking out of the mold, fear of all sorts of this laundry list of things. And when I started the Honey Badger Project, which is a business incubator, what that means is that we exist to create more creativity in the marketplace of healthcare. I am not a get more clients business coach. I am not a marketing expert that just, you know, does marketing. My mission and my purpose in that aspect of my career is to help inspire innovation in the healthcare space. And I knew that since fear is the number one gatekeeper to actually seeing innovation, we needed a spirit animal. And there's this viral YouTube video in 2012. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. You got to look it up. And it basically talks about how the honey badger is the most fearless animal in the world. And to my surprise, it was confirmed by National Geographic and some other resources where you watch some documentaries and docuseries on the honey badger. These are bad animals, man. They do not back down. They are fearless. They have thick skin. And there's layers of symbolism that we build into the messaging of our platform that allows the honey badger to be sort of this, bring some levity to the situation, but also serve as a spirit animal. What I'm here to do is to deliver a mindset shift. So this is not about me. This is about your audience. And the mindset shift that I want to help all of you see is that you are more than just your hands. And that doesn't mean we have to not take pride in the craft of what you can do, because what you can do with your hands is extremely powerful, but you are even more powerful than that. And when you tap into that, you do a couple of different things. One, you prolong your career, because let's just face it, you know, my hands are not the same from the 8 years that I did a very manual centric approach. But more importantly, I believe that we make the impact that you thought you would have when you first chose this career path. And the way I believe in doing that is just matching you with readily available technology. It's not my technology. It's not proprietary. There are dozens of options out there. I have no affiliate with any of them. I'm not even going to talk about any specific ones unless you really want me to give some more texture or context to what I'm talking about. But how many of you are dealing with a client who is coming in for, let's say, lower back pain or neck pain or hip pain, who is also overweight, who is also sitting for 8 hours a day, who is also eating processed foods, who is also not sleeping enough, who is also addicted to their screen? And the incredible gift that you could give them with your hands, whether you're intervening on pain or something else, swap in the context. Don't take the easy road out and be like, oh, this doesn't relate to me. I don't work with people with pain. Think about the problems your people come to help you solve. And now think about all of the things that are actually leading to that problem. If we don't address that, I would argue that we are more towards a Band-Aid than a long-lasting cure. Cure, I get it, is a loaded word here. What I'm advocating for is addition, not subtraction, adding to your services and potentially repackaging the way you sell your services, a little bit bigger of an ask, though, is that if somebody's coming in for low back pain, if somebody's coming in for hip pain or neck pain, I mean, this statistically we know represents the majority of the reasons why people come in for treatment, barring any traumatic incidents and surgeries, post-operative, all that other stuff. Chances are they need some very basic health habits that all of us and the rest of healthcare have overlooked. And I'm like, that's too basic. That's too low level. And many of us, especially the sports therapists that we've worked with, are like, well, I don't have an exercise credential. I'm not asking you to do exercise prescription. Well, I don't have a nutrition degree. I'm not asking you to do nutrition prescribe. I'm not asking you to prescribe a meal plan. But what I am advocating for is that you build in accountability to basic health habits as an adjunct to your core treatment and watch the results people get. And now, again, we could go into deeper, like all the different ways we could do this. But what I'm advocating for, I'm going to shortcut to the takeaway. Pick one, two, or three clients and say, hey, I got, you know, this crazy guy from America is coming talking about this, you know, this concept of like me using an app to help implement some basic health habits. Like, would you be down to be a beta tester, you know, a founding member of this to help me explore if it's something I even want to try? Go into the marketplace, pick an app that has a communication area. So a place to message that's not your cell phone, that's not a, you know, DM and WhatsApp. Place the message, a method of habit tracking, and ideally a calendar so that you could place things to do on the calendar. And then from there, what I want you to do is just think about what habits your people might need help with. Pick one habit for 2 weeks. So if you were to take, let's say you want to say sleep, it could be as simple as what's your baseline sleep? Matt, what are you averaging? What's your average sleep?
Trying to get 7.5, 8. Yeah.
What's the real number though, Matt? Come on.
Oh no, I did a 6 week sleep study with a connect. I had like a polysomnogram tied up and I've realized, you know, I've got the eye mask. I've got the ear. I've got it blocked out. Yeah. But yeah, I know a lot of people are not.
Before then.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was
disturbed four. Yeah. Disturbed four or five. I was bored in insomnia.
So many of your clients will answer similarly, like 5 or 6, you know, well, I try to get 7, but I usually get 6. Well, what is it? You know, I tend to watch TV a little too much at night, or I'm on my phone scrolling at night. This is a universal human condition. And simple habit tracking of saying, okay, let's make a new rule. What are you down to between our sessions? Between, let's imagine you sell something where you have a session every 2 weeks or maybe once a month. Between now and next session, we're going to either work on one or two habits. And those habits are going to be inside this app. And, you know, first habit is going to be sleep. So let's build a habit that you're going to set your Apple Health or your Android Health alarms and your focus modes to basically turn off and turn on at the right times. And every morning after you wake up, you're going to come to my app and click, did you do it or not? And you're like, Frank, are you really serious? You're going to ask me to hold people accountable to setting up their Apple Health? Yes, no one does it. And if they do do it, they ignore it so quickly. It's incredible because they have a billion notifications on their phone. They need human accountability. Human accountability for the absolute basic health habits of, you know, of generalized healthcare is what's missing and is life-changing. And you as the front lines can build this in. So, you know, some of you are probably saying, what am I doing this for free? Like how does this work? And I'll pause here, Matt. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go into more of the concept or do you want me to go more into business model?
No, I mean, what you're saying builds on things which we've kind of gypped through already, in the sense that because a lot of our audience and listeners have got a great therapeutic alliance with their clients because of the touch, because of the subjective assessment that they're doing, they know stuff about their client. We've kind of stressed that you're in the perfect place, probably more so than any other health professional, to actually get some decent behavior change, because you've broken those barriers. So the stuff you're talking about is amazing. And it's just, I think the technology you're introducing is a way to put something we've talked about now into actual practice. It's just about the therapist having the confidence to do it. So going, continuing down that road would be amazing.
Yeah. So there's a list of the most basic health habits that, oh, what's the resource that I was looking for? I'll pull the link and give it to you. You could put it in the description of this, but it's the government recommended basic health habits that requires, in my opinion, no specialized credential and has extremely limited, if not zero, risk, because somebody checking a box saying, like, did I put my phone away at 9 so I could get to sleep at 10 is not going to sue you because you had them go to sleep a little earlier, or their step count, you know, might be one of the goals. So whatever it is that's most important to your crew, your people that you serve, is really what you should revolve this around. Now, talking about the business model, how does this free you from so much demand on your hands? Because I don't necessarily, you know, you opened with how do you work less and make more? And that, like, you technically can do that. But my perception is, how do you shift the way you work to diversify it away from just your hands and make more? So you might end up working the same amount, or you could choose to work slightly less. But the reality is that the scope and the scale of which lives you can impact climbs exponentially when you start leaning on technology. So what this means is people that you might discharge, you know, or say, like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to no longer come in for sessions. This can be a adjunct where you continue the relationship with them after their need of sessions naturally goes away, or you decide it's no longer needed, or they decide it's no longer needed. And a couple of things happen for that. It's recurring revenue. So you could charge a very reasonable amount for 100% asynchronous care. Asynchronous meaning they respond on their watch, you respond on your watch, you add new habits, they check those habits, you evolve it, you check in via Messenger. So this could be a stream of recurring revenue ongoing after people wrap up with their sessions. I'm not asking you don't need to change anything about sessions. Do you know what happens after a year of accruing? Now, not everybody's going to want to do that, but let's just say 5 people a month, very reasonable number in my opinion, 5 people a month, every month, all year. At the end of the year, we're going to have 60 people paying whatever dollar amount that you feel is fair for the service, which we have seen from anywhere between 100 to 250 pounds. So I tried to say pounds. I was going to say dollars.
I was impressed. Hey, that was great.
I tried to be natural. I said.
I made your mind.
So the reality is, we do have people selling this for anywhere between $50 and $250, depending how loaded they make it. Some people create some really intricate programs, and it's got, you know, some pre-filmed education where you just film like these 2-minute segments of education, then you load it in their calendar. Because people need to learn like it's social media now. Social media has changed the way consumers learn. So rather than them having scroll social media, you have them check your app. Again, it's readily available. You just pay some app $50 to $100 a month to host this. You film a 2-minute little video about the importance of hydration. You know, here's why. This is what it does to your cells. And, you know, when you get when you come in for a session, make sure you stay hydrated. But now we're going to build that into an app. Did you drink X liters of water the next day? Whatever it is that we're going to say, we could build this in. And now circling back to, you know, like the one variation is this being a discharge mechanism. At the end of a year, the amount of money you can have recurring revenue then gives you the power and flexibility to say, what is the right amount of in-person sessions I want for this phase of life? Maybe you're preparing to have a kid. Maybe you just had a kid. Maybe you're coming to the end of your career. Maybe your hands are hurting. Maybe your back's hurting. Maybe you want to travel a little bit more. When you build up in a long-term project, no quick fixes, monthly recurring revenue, it gives you optionality. It gives you now money to reinvest back into the business. You could hire someone. You could maybe get that bigger space that has a different treatment room. You could bring someone else into this proprietary method because this is cutting edge. The other way you could do this, and I'll pause for questions, is selling a plan of care, and that you could swap that name out for whatever you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But that's the placeholder that we start with. And every clinician gets to like rename their own stuff. But selling a plan of care where you are, like, people are price shopping different sports therapists, right? So they're going, okay, who's, you know, what's your hourly rate? What's your hourly rate? With you though, you don't sell sessions, you sell a process. So once you live launch this and now you have your one habit every 2 weeks, and now you have, let's say, a 90-day or a 6-month plan. Those are the two that we usually recommend to start with. Is like, let's say somebody comes in with some sort of chronic pain. You say, oh, I actually have a program that I've developed that's a combination of sessions and this whole host of asynchronous interventions. That's going to get really to the root of your chronic pain. We're going to do all this amazing stuff. I'm not asking you to change any narrative with your hands at all, but I'm asking you to surround it with that, with everything else, some educational videos, some habit tracking, some basic guidance for food, nutrition, and sleep, and technology, and all this other stuff. And then when you do that, you could actually space the sessions out more than maybe you would have otherwise, because the value is no longer per session. Like, oh, cool, how much does that work out to session? Actually, it's just not how it works. You know, so the price is for working with me for 3 months is this amount. Mm-hmm. And you're now literally preventing the math from even happening of what is that per session? Because they're paying for the process that you have created for. And now this is where you have to identify who your people are. Maybe it's a chronic pain problem. Maybe it's postpartum. Maybe it's prepartum. I can't think of the word. Pregnancy-based. You could create signature programs or a catch-all that works with everybody. And then you could charge a premium for that, which then deleverages your time and your hands, which creates the same effect as the discharge. Having all three, you know, where you have your classic sessions for those people who just, you know, at the end of the day, you can't get them to see the future of it, or you need your reps in learning how to sell this. That's fine. Your discharge program and your signature process. That's what we call an evolving practice model. That's a model that is dynamic and that can shape shift and grow with you over time, and is scalable, sustainable, and has an amazing impact.
Brilliant. That's great. People in the audience, I can see you sitting there. I want some questions coming out, because already I know by some of your names that you've said to me, I'm just getting tired. I'm having to work too much. My hands are hurting. It's a common thing when you're overdoing it with a manual therapy. I have some questions coming in about how this is going to work. There must be some questions happening. I'm interested in hearing you talk about this idea, which people will realize now, this the only way to make money is one-to-one. And if you want to make more money, then you have to see more people, and how this is an outdated principle. And I was interested also, you mentioned on another podcast how it's tricky to get away from this model, because a lot of traditional businesses, I think the expression you used were, you're paid when they check in, you know, and you're not actually getting paid for a result. It's every time they check in, see this person 8 times a month, and then that's fine. You only see them 5 times a month. And it's difficult for therapists to break out of that mold, the idea of seeing less people and stuff. But what you're providing, and it sounds so simple now, the way it comes so masterfully out of your mouth, is a way to look after people in the background. You're not having to see them. You could even be, somebody could be filling in that spreadsheet, that app, whilst you're seeing another patient, you know, and it's just incredible. So yeah, just why is it we've got this one-to-one system, and what suggestions have you got for patients to help, therapists to get out of this mentality of I need to see patient per patient?
It's a great question. I'll share a little bit of a story about who I am as it relates to this. Mm. So I've been practicing since 2009. I was an employee from 2009 to 2015. In 2015, I finally had enough and I launched my own practice. Thinking I had escaped the system, I had quickly basically sold all of my time and was just up. My schedule was completely filled. I wasn't seeing my kids. I had two kids at the time. Now I have three. And I was like, man, is this it? Did I succeed at giving myself another job? You know, is this really the pinnacle? And then my solution was selling other people's time. And that meant the profit margin is narrow, right? So we did scale that business to 50 employees, five locations. And I'm fortunate to have been able to sold that practice in 2019. We were a very high quality, low volume practice, but that would not have survived COVID at the end of the day. That was simply would not have survived it. I, by a stroke of luck, was always obsessed with the Silicon Valley tech scene. And in the United States, that's where all innovation comes from. So Uber, Airbnb, Lyft, anything that's disruptive and innovative typically comes out of the US, comes out of Silicon Valley. So I was just obsessed with studying them. And I wanted to go to Y Combinator, which was an incubator that used principle-based learning to help anyone with any idea turn that idea to an innovative business in like 16 weeks. I was like, healthcare needs that. And I thought, how could I create an incubator, someplace where it doesn't matter what your credential is, who you serve, but through these principles, you could reimagine the way you practice in a way that mutually benefits the end user, the clients, you, and the future team that you might build if you do choose to scale it that far. And that's really what I started racking my brain around when I had sold that practice. That's what I dedicated my life towards. I am somebody, though, who would not be able to teach that unless I was doing it. So I first, before I started teaching other clinicians, I launched a business for combat athletes, fighters, literally like UFC fighters, kickboxers, jujitsu, wrestlers. And that was my favorite type of patient and client to work with. I just love them. They're crazy. They'd come in with something dislocated and they're like, I'm fighting Friday no matter what. You know, what can you do? You know, so it was always just this fun group of people to work with. And in 2019, I realized that this group was they were very intersparse. There's not a central location for them. They're fragmented. The healthcare system usually disregards them. They tell them, you're crazy for doing this, just stop. Mm-hmm. They don't stop. And they basically just get tossed aside. And I said, this isn't right. And I realized that an online platform, a mostly remote platform, was actually what they needed. So I launched what I called a hybrid practice at that time, where I went in person twice a week to use my hands, use my eyes, to assess the way people move, to do manual therapy. But I would sell them 90-day plans of care based off of what I saw that they needed with everything I just described, with a little bit more of an exercise physiology component based off of my background and my degree. But the reality is that most of them needed just basic health habits. Most of them needed step count and sleeps and, you know, better sleep and all this other stuff. So in 2019, I had my hybrid location set up and we had started getting significant interest from the combat sports community. I had some people fully remotely from outside my area who I never met just because I documented what I was doing on social media. The lockdowns happened and I realized, wow, I'm really uniquely positioned right now. And my business just grew throughout it. So we grew up to 130 combat athletes on caseload, fully remotely, where all we're doing is the basics of nutrition, movement, exercise, mindset, meditation, everything that they could need to prep for their fights as my niche. And I took that as the opportunity for me to launch my incubator, which was essentially taking all the lessons learned from my direct experience in business and bringing it back to to other clinicians. And since then, I've launched two more practices. One that's actually about to launch in a few weeks, but another one we did last year, we've created a fully remote ecosystem for truck drivers. Truck drivers are another one who's just cast aside by society, meaning, meanwhile, 70, 80% of everything in our rooms right now, wherever you are, touched a truck. And we just cast these humans aside as though they're not human anymore. So we built a healthcare system for them. And now I'm releasing a hybrid practice for people with ADHD. And you might be like, "What, Frank, what are you talking about? How are you a physical therapist doing ADHD? I believe in expanding and pushing the limits of our practice models. Again, within the legal boundaries, I am not going to, there will be no diagnosis of ADHD made. We're actually really an attention improvement center, not an ADHD center. Basically, kids and adults can come in, use some really cutting edge technology like iPads with infrared cameras that can track your eye movement to train you how to read, because people with ADHD typically jump around a lot, they get distracted. And there's exercises you could do with 3D glasses, and there's all sorts of really cool technology that can help with ADHD. But the reality is that health habits actually are what intervenes on ADHD more than the technology. So what we're doing is basically the same thing I'm advocating for you. Instead of my hands, we're talking about come in and use this technology. Oh, and by the way, your ADHD is exponentially worse when you have no limits on your technology, when you don't sleep enough, if you drink alcohol too frequently, if you eat processed foods, especially high sugars. So this concept, the principle, can apply to any credential, working with any type of person in any setting, anywhere in the country. It's just about inspiring clinicians to start thinking outside the proverbial box and giving them the tools to help reimagine their skill sets.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm thinking, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking of different, like, I work with runners. I'm thinking of, I mean, I've done that as well. I was similar to you in the sense that before COVID happened, I was already providing a Big Brother service where they had to upload their runs to this spreadsheet and how much they slept and whether I was trying to keep the individual from doing too much or not doing enough. And it's basic human nature, isn't it? Sometimes we all need a Big Brother to feel accountable to, and that helps behavior change. So it's something which all therapists need to be doing. I love the way you said, I think it was something like, if you're in 2024, you're a therapist and you're not using an app, just one app, then you're losing already. You're going to be caught definitely with your trousers down by the time AI starts getting more. So I'm thinking, really, I mean, this is an amazing way to help behavior change with clients, which is something we've talked about a lot with some amazing guests. But now, really, we're focusing more on behavior change for therapists who maybe have got barriers to changing the service they offer. So how, in your experience, because you work with therapists and you help them kind of launch this change and get a hybrid model together, what do you think are some of the barriers and how do people overcome them?
Yeah, fear is number one, but I'll give you a context of that. It's usually imposter syndrome and or this self-constructed belief that, like, almost like an identity crisis is the way I would put it. And that's what I went through. You know, so if I could look back at 2013 to 15, Frank, right at the tail end of when I was an employee, starting my own business, I had gotten into the pain science world. And there's these extremes now, man. We were talking about this off air. Like, there's either these, like, rigid loyalists, almost like religious based thought in clinical philosophy. And there's just, in my opinion, there's no place for that. And we've been around long enough. You got a gray beard and you're a clinician. That means that you have seen the trends come and go. So you're just less reactive to the new trend. And I don't dismiss them, but I just take it as data. And I always try to say, okay, well, you know, the extremists are saying pain science is now, it's all just in your mind. You know, pain is not real. It is in a neurochemical reaction, nothing more. And that's such an hardline extreme. Like, are there cases where that is true? Absolutely. I'm sure we all can think of one person where that is the extreme example. And then we could also all agree that when you roll your ankle or break a bone, there is the other extreme where this is now a mechanical tissue issue. And if the person is, you know, has a great support system and all of the other variables we know that to help them succeed, it's kind of purely a mechanical issue. We need to get them stronger. We need to get them more mobile. We need to return to their activity at a dosed out pace. So these are the two extremes. Whereas most people are then going to be in the middle, where if you do have such a bout with chronic pain, I'm sorry, with low back pain, that it does induce, like, fear-based, you know, changes. We do need to understand that our words matter. We do need to carefully choose the way we explain the mechanics, to not use nocebic language to influence people to come to our sessions or buy our products. But that doesn't mean that we have to discredit the role of manual therapy or the role that other interventions can play that still do have research support behind it, or that is aligned with your personal philosophy. As long as we're not using nocebic language consciously to influence the sale of a product, I believe now we need to be more open to the full cascade of research, not allow ourselves to become religious about it, and then adopt what worldview actually makes sense for our niche. So back to your question of, like, what's in the way here? Like, this does not need to be an identity crisis. This is adding a tool to your toolbox for you to experiment with in the tiniest dose, even like a friends and family thing. Like, hey, hey, go to your neighbor, go to your buddy, go to your in-laws and be like, I just want to test this thing. Like, could you now, granted, when you give it away for free and you do it to family, they're going to not do it. So like, take that with a grain. Like, that's a grain of salt. Like, that's for you to practice the mechanics. Don't judge based off of their results, because they're to you, you're too close to them. They're not going to actually listen. But ideally, it's your best clients. Ask them to dabble with it, but just take the first step, because like, the other part of this is, and you know, trying not to use nocebic language myself here, but technology is like here. Mm-hmm. Technology is here. It is not in the future anymore. Technology is here. And the reality is that if you're not using any form of technology, I do view that as a risk. And sometimes that's just like, you know, there are still people taking physical note keeping. There are still people who don't have a scheduling link. There are still like, so this doesn't even need to be in the fulfillment of your service. This could be like, if you like, where could you just say, okay, you know what, this month I'm going to add this piece of technology to swap out the old school way. And if you just do that slowly but surely, you will have a practice that evolves with the times, because I do believe that we are going to see an exponential increase in the use of technology in the coming years. And those who are dabbling now, it's like a form of job security for yourself, because that's where the world is heading. And there's only so much longer the healthcare system can resist it. You know, we've been stifled in innovation for years for lots of reasons. And just dabbling with this will reduce the fear associated and also help you see that like, there's no identity, you know, change that needs to happen. It's an and, it's an addition.
Definitely. Great points in there. I think Cecily here has summed it up nicely. It's what we're talking about, really. It's how do we influence ourselves and being happy to try and influence others. It's nicely put, Cecily. But I like what you say, Frank, is a case of not fearing that we're going to have to change our identity massively or reinvent ourselves, because particularly, I'm always commending soft tissue therapists and sports massage therapists, because you've already got the empathy. You already genuinely care for your client who comes in. Otherwise, you couldn't do half the stuff you do with them. So I think it's accepting maybe that your client is going to be happy to do what you advise, and they're going to take it on much easier than you suspect. Probably people are thinking, oh, I'm going to charge them something else now. They're going to think it's just a gimmick. But people, especially people in pain, people who can't do their preferred sport, especially with runners, if a runner is not able to run or do what they want to do, they're in a period of mourning, and they will do anything as long as they have confidence in you. So I think it's just crossing that step, isn't it? Thinking people are going to enjoy what I give them and it's going to help. Once you think that, then suddenly you can go ahead and suggest these apps to people without fear of it not working or anything. So yeah, fear. I can understand why you focus on that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like, here's the link, and we can include this one too, from the NHS on their Live Well. NHS advice about living, healthy living, including eating a balanced diet, healthy weight, exercise, quitting smoking and drinking less alcohol. And there's quite literally just dozens of tabs that you can click on one and say sleep and tiredness, and quite literally just take exactly what the NHS is recommending and simply turn that into a habit. And the accountability to actually doing that will be the most life-changing thing for your client's health that they will have ever experienced. I promise you that. Just try it. Just try it with a few people and you will see.
Excellent. It's probably worth mentioning here, I'm just bringing these people up on the screen who I'm sure you recall. So a while back, it was episode 181. We had the pleasure of spending some time with David Barron and Simon Taylor of Rehab Guru. And they mentioned you because you've worked with them before. And I mean, there was other suppliers there of apps and things out there, but they were in that episode talking about how technology means that it's not just a case of providing exercises anymore. I mean, that once upon a time we'd be drawing down stick men, and a lot of people have moved on now to actually sending a program with decent videos and things you can amend. But that particular episode, I recommend you listen to it, people, 181, end-to-end patient management and Rehab Guru. They were touching on how their software and other software can now do so much more than that. And they do provide programs and systems and spreadsheets to, like Frank is saying, to provide a chance for the client to actually take responsibility and be accountable and fill things out. So definitely check out that system. Sorry, that episode, if you're listening to the podcast. So I'm interested also, keeping an eye on the time, quarter to nine, that's fine, 50 minutes. Talk to me how the Honey Badger Project All right, she said honey badger for the first time actually today. It's always honey bear. The honey badger project helps. What's the idea behind it, and how can it help our therapists embrace this hybrid model?
Yeah, so again, it's principle-based learning, which means that there is a structured curriculum. However, the structure of that curriculum is agnostic to type of clinician, credential, and clinical beliefs. So it is a series of prompts that elicits, like, who is your ideal kind of client? Most people are still in the category of too general, and you don't always need to, like, now just start saying no to people, but instead you start attracting people who you have built something for. So when you build something remarkable for a smaller group of people, they tend to see it and go, that was made for me. You know, like, wow, they took the time to make that for me. And there's a couple of different ways you can introduce this. You could add this as a signature offer in addition to your generalist offer. Or if you're somebody already niched down, like some of you are, then you simply just start to mold your offer into a more of a plan of care. But essentially, the steps are, number one, we take you through life design worksheet. Life design worksheet is reverse engineering. What do you actually want out of this for you? And this is not some pie in the sky, drinking margaritas on the beach, you know, 24/7. This is like, do you want to take your kids to school every morning? Do you want to be home for dinner? What's the cadence that you want to travel? What days of the week do you want to work? Like, what, you know, it's a very practical thing to then look into the future and say, what would my ideal life look like in a very practical way? And then that becomes this lens that all decisions are made through. Because when you start doing this stuff and you get momentum and more people want to work with you, it's easy to say yes to the point like where you end up like me, where you just sold all of your time and you're like, oh, you're just, yeah, I'm making more money than ever, but now I'm working more than ever. You're like, is that actually the point of this whole thing called business? And like, no, it's not. So the point of the business is to help people that you feel called to serve and make a good living while doing it. If we don't outline what we mean by a good living while doing it, we're leaving it up to random chance. So the first step is outlining exactly what you want. You can all do this regardless of, you know, I'm a give it away for free. Come to us if you want the accountability and the mentorship kind of guy. So we have like 40, 50 hours of free trainings inside our free Facebook group. If you follow my Instagram, it's education heavy. I give it all away. So this is exactly the process. If there's any interest at all, you could come over. It doesn't, you know, matter to me. I would love to have you in the following to just follow along. On Instagram is the best way to reach me. It's Frank_Benedetto. But here's the process. It is life design. Find and study your niche. Within that, you're identifying their key problems. So you list out their problems exhaustively and then list the problems that are in your wheelhouse that you are feeling confident to be able to solve. You order them in order of like the biggest domino. So a lot of times what we help people do is set up technology rules. You will not believe how much people's lives can be changed by having an adult needs you to tell them how to have a relationship with their phone. And I truly believe that pain and cell phone usage is somewhat correlated. Chronic pain and screen time, somewhat correlated. So again, not causative. I'm not saying this is it. I'm looking at the full picture of like, if I'm picking two habits a month, so that means I get to pick 12 habits, 12 interventions. I'm picking things that revolve around technology. So, you know, screen time, immediate stress levels decrease. We know stress is correlated with pain. That one's proven. Stress and screen time are also proven. Therefore, we can indirectly make the assumption that screen time and pain has likelihood of strength behind it. So long story short, I go off in these two tangents.
That's all good, man. Just keep going.
Life design, study your niche. Decide what problems you're going to intervene upon. What is the outcome of solving that problem look like? Are they happier? Are they more fulfilled? Are they more active? Then you're going to identify what is the delivery mechanisms that you can solve that. I think that many of you can film 2 to 3 minute pieces of information that you can preload into any one of these readily available apps like the Rehab Guru. And you don't realize that people, information overload is a massive issue for consumers right now. And they will pay to have less information to get the right information. They will pay you to say, you are now my trusted source of generalized health information. Mm-hmm. And lean on you for whatever it is in your wheelhouse that you feel passionate about, that again, you could pull from the NHS. So it's not even you making it up. You're just pulling from the recommendations. Then we're going to package all of this into a 90-day or 6-month plan of care to assign a price point. Now, don't make the mistake of giving this away for free. It's okay in the beginning if you all pick your 2 or 3 beta tests so that like you're learning the app and like you give some of your top clients some little value add. Tell them that it's a 60-day trial or a 30-day trial or something like that for free, and that it will be a paid service, but they'll get a discount. They'll love you for it. Keep it as a term. What you want to do is what we call the hybrid coefficient. It's actually what's on the board behind me for those of you who can see it, is that you do the frequency of in-person sessions. That's your normal rate times multiplied by the hybrid coefficient. Let's say it's 1.1, 1.2, 1.5, depending on how much you load it. So if you're going to say, I'm going to do the bare bones, I'm going to load and I'm literally going to copy and paste one sentence into a habit tracker once every 2 weeks. That comes with a premium telling you. So, but maybe it's like 1.2, you charge 1.2 times whatever the total package price is. And now you get, let's just take easy math just to, because I'm terrible at math. So if you normally charge $1,000 for 10 pack of sessions, you might now charge $1,200 for that same 10 pack, but you're not selling it as a pack of sessions anymore. You're selling it as your 90-day process, which includes habit tracking and these sessions. And you're breaking down the time for money ratio. So that when they ask, like, what is that per session? Like, that's really like you quite literally come up with the narrative. And we have tons of sales and marketing training, but it's not really the core purpose of what we do. But we support people because you have to learn how to resell this stuff, because most of you are so well groomed and just selling the thing that you're used to. So you need a little bit of support to just just fine tune. But you will get to the point where you could sell this and it's disconnected from your time. People are happy to pay for it. Now, if you add some educational videos, maybe you have a little bit of a community aspect. You have some 24-hour support so they could ask you health questions or talk to you during the work week. Now you're at 1.5. Now you're at 1,500 for those 10 sessions, but really the 10 sessions inside the plan of care. Now let's say you really load it up and maybe you do have some exercise knowledge, or you go out and get a credential, or you have a credential in nutrition, or you partner with a nutritionist or a personal trainer, you hire them. Now you're charging 2x. Now you're charging 2K for this 90-day or 6-month process where the sessions are even more spread out because the value is coming from all these different locations. Once you then build your product, sign, seal, deliver it, we believe in the Silicon Valley of launching businesses where you study your people as they go through it. So your first 5 to 10 people, you're literally watching them like a science experiment, and you're going to be wrong about some stuff. They're going to be like, I don't understand what you mean by this. Great. That's great data. As long as you have an intention to take care of them, no matter what it takes. Yeah. In the beginning phase, you got to do a little bit more work to be like, oh, let me hop on a quick 5-minute call and explain to you. And then based off of that call, you then go update the way you phrase it inside the app. And I guarantee the next time the next people come through, they then don't have that question. You're now on the path to being able to streamline and scale this offer where you're working maybe the same or less, but seeing a lot more people with less energy, less hands, less time in the clinic. You could be doing that from a laptop, from your house, from vacation. I remember the first vacation I took with my family to Florida when I lived in New Jersey. And I just brought out my laptop from like 9 a.m. till noon. And I closed it. I was like, done with. I like walked back to the room and I was like, I wrote some programs and I messaged some people. And here I am thinking my entire life had been spent inside of a clinic, 40 hours, 50 hours a week. And I was like, I didn't lose any money by going away. In fact, I made like slightly more because I was selling people into these remote products. So yeah, that's the process, and then support with marketing and sales. And there's a mastermind component on the back end.
Amazing. Right. Well, look, it's 5-2. I'm trying to get into a habit after these chats with, which I'm calling very, not very originally, putting theory into practice. But with that idea in mind, putting theory into practice, some people out there are going to listen to this and go, right, I've been looking for some form of mentorship. I've got some money put aside. I need to talk to these guys and I'm willing to pay a certain amount. I want to find out how much it is and I want them to look after me and guide me through this process. In that case, I'm going to bring up your website. Do they go through your website and contact you through that if they're willing to, if they want to have you actually guiding them and giving them a service?
Yeah, the best place is actually to reach me on Instagram. DM me. I'll personally answer. Okay. Just mention that you're from this podcast. We take it slow. So if you're interested and this is the first time you heard about me, I'm not even going to ask you to enroll. I am not going to set you up with a sales call. What I'm going to do is hook you up with longer form free trainings to really get an idea of what we're talking about so that you can self-select. Does this concept make sense? And then if it does, you'll see multiple ways to be able to book a call and hop on with my team and see if it makes sense. But we take a much longer nurture, trust building based approach. So you are welcome to follow along with any of our free trainings for as long as you'd like. We'll put you in the Facebook group where you could get tons of free trainings on an ongoing basis that go live most weeks, similar to you, you know, 4 years straight with some breaks here and there. But we're just constantly trying to deliver more value into the free community. And if the time is ever right, you'll know how to reach us.
Right. That's first of all, that's amazingly generous. That's great. It's lovely. It's so refreshing to hear that. So people, if you are interested, then take advantage of that. Instagram, Frank_Benedetto, which is BENEDETTO. I made a typo on the original advert, but it is BENE, Bene. Well, Benedetto. And Instagram. And then, like Frank has said, Facebook group, loads of free stuff to get to know. It sounds really healthy, a gentle kind of learning. And then you may decide, I'm up for this and take it further. And I suppose that's the same is going to go for people who aren't quite ready, thinking, I'm not ready to pay for anything yet. As Frank has said, a whole load of free information there for you. The Facebook group sounds really cool. I did put up a little screenshot here of the Facebook group. Let's see. I think it's going to be, there we go.
There's legitimately enough information in the Facebook group where you can implement this completely on your own. There are people who have done it. Some people want the more finer tuned, high touch experience. But if you get inside this Facebook group and actually take the time to work through the materials, you'll have a host of resources. This is actually the Facebook page. The Facebook group is called The Time Leveraged Clinician. So we can drop that
link. Okay. Well, make sure that goes in the link. I was going to say, we'll put all of these into the links. But if you listen to the podcast, then it sounds like Instagram is going to be a great portal call for you. But if you're not using Instagram, then check out the show notes here and we'll put the links in for you there. Very exciting. It's almost like it's one of those moments where we kind of know this is where everyone needs to be heading. I mean, it's so obvious the way you put it. But people need help and guidance to do. It's like when we tell our patients to do these exercises, then we're surprised when they don't do them and we blame them. I think it's the same thing here. We can tell you on this podcast, or rather you can tell people, look, you need to be doing this. But if you don't do it, we get it. We get that it's easy for you or it's hard for you to actually make that change. There's going to be all sort of barriers. So it sounds like, Frank, you've put all those steps into place to gently show people how to get into 2025 with some success, to actually everything which our audience need. Yes, make a little bit more money, use your hands less. And also just the main thing which people are in this business for is to get more success with clients, to get more thank yous, to actually help more people, which is going to make you feel better and make you glad that you chose this lifestyle instead of being a lawyer or an accountant or someone earning fortune, but not getting thank yous as much. So really appreciate it, Frank. Fantastic. Right. Thank you, people, for joining us live. It is that time again. If you listen to the podcast, then really appreciate it. To help get the word of our great guests out there, we always say it, please, please, please do leave a rating and a review, particularly on Apple Podcasts. If you've got an iPhone, it takes literally 30 seconds. Just go to your Innate app and I'll make it easy for you. Just click the fifth star, the fifth little gold one, and then just say excellent in the review, and that'd be fine. Or it just helps our guests who get nothing for this just to get their good word out there, and it helps more therapists see it. And also, if you do like the idea of joining us live, then just come on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock, either YouTube or Facebook. To let you know, if you are listening and you like the idea of it, next Tuesday, which is going to be March 26th, if you're listening to this before then, at 8 o'clock, the topic is going to be manual therapy, a new way of learning. So we've got a little theme going on here. This is going to be with, everybody knows him, Mike James, Endurance Physio, which a lot of people will be familiar with. He's been working on different ways to deliver manual therapy. So there will be a lot of crossovers here, and he's going to be with us in the studio next week. So really much looking forward to that. So for the last time tonight, thank you so much, Frank, for giving up your time. You've still got a whole afternoon to enjoy in Florida now. Have you got things planned, or is that your briefcase shut now? Your metaphor?
Got one more meeting after this. Yeah. The second conference of the day, fourth meeting up next, and then we are...
I really appreciate it, man.
It's a golf practice, so
you, thank you. You're showing some... No, a pleasure. You're sharing some amazing information. I really want to do what I can. And the Sports Therapy Association wants to do what it can to help you get your good word out there. There's so much you're giving away. We just need to get it out to the people who need to hear it. So we will do everything we can to do that. So thank you very much. Right. Thanks, people, for joining us. Like I say, if you want to join us next week, then join us Tuesday at 8 o'clock. But until then, make sure you look after each other. Take care.
You're listening to the Sports Therapy Association podcast, putting evidence back into soft tissue therapy.